Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, July 14th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
California rolls back reopening measures as infections spike.
Cases in Florida threaten to strain Miami-Dade hospitals beyond capacity.
The debate over classroom learning heats up as big cities defy White House orders.
And Wall Street awaits second quarter results from some of the biggest banks.
New Jersey Transit lifts its 50% capacity limit on trains starting tomorrow, plus President Trump weighs in on his relationship with Dr. Fauci. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A possible holdup to a new name in Washington and a big NBA star has tested positive.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Crises bring out the best in people. Character, community, partnership, together as one, SEI. Go to SEIC.com/IMS.
U.S. futures are gaining while stocks in Europe and Asia decline. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 10 points this morning. Dow futures up 94. NASDAQ futures up 36. The DAX in Germany is down 1.5%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 0.62%. The yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.2% or 49 cents at $39.61 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.6% at $1,804 an ounce. Nathan.
Karen, we begin in California, where the state is rolling back reopening measures. Governor Gavin Newsom is responding to rising infections by closing indoor activities.
Restaurants, wineries, tasting rooms, movie theaters, family entertainment centers, zoos and museums, card rooms, and the shuttering of all bars.
The move comes as California reports record hospitalizations. Newsom says more restrictions could come for counties with increased exposure.
COVID-19 is not going away anytime soon until there is a vaccine and or an effective therapy.
California has reported more than 100,000 infections in the past 2 weeks, while hospitalizations have increased 28%.
In Florida, cases continue to rise at a blistering pace. Intensive care patients in Miami-Dade County hit a fresh record. The region currently has no plans for another lockdown, but Miami Mayor Francis Suarez is not taking it off the table.
You can't rule out the possibility of a stay-at-home order. And so, you know, we're analyzing it day in and day out to make a decision, but it's not something that I'm going to rule out at this point.
When it comes to schools, Suarez says there's been no decision on indoor classes, though education officials are feeling pressure from the state.
The education commissioner of the state of Florida has mandated that schools be open, but I'm not sure that our superintendent is in agreement with that. And certainly, not if it poses a risk to our children or to the parents who are teaching.
Miami's mayor says the city's hospital system is strained with little to no capacity left at intensive care units.
Cities and states across the country are grappling with how to teach classes this fall. The White House is pushing for in-person learning, but the second largest district in the country has decided not to return kids to classrooms.
We must prevent gatherings and should only open when it is safe for our students, our staff, our teachers, and our families.
L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti is moving classes online to start the year. San Diego's doing the same. The move comes in direct opposition to President Trump, who's made reopening schools one of his top priorities.
New York is laying out criteria to resume in-person learning. Governor Andrew Cuomo says regions can restart classes if they meet certain reopening and infection rate metrics.
You're in phase four and you're under 5% infection rate. That means the virus is under control.
And that means you can restart classes, but Cuomo is leaving the door open to move learning back online if those metrics don't hold.
Schools will close if the regional infection rate is above 9% on a 7-day average.
Governor Cuomo is criticizing President Trump for pushing states to reopen schools. He says the administration is denying the reality of the situation.
In Maryland, Governor Larry Hogan is also grappling with how to resume classes.
Everybody wants to get kids back to school because it's so important that they, we get them back learning again. but we've got to do it in a safe way.
While no decision's been made, Hogan tells us he expects to deploy a combination of virtual and in-class learning this fall.
We're going to come up with a plan that's probably going to be some kind of a hybrid that makes sure that we get our kids educated and back to school, but in a very safe way.
Hogan is also pushing for aid from the federal government, saying Maryland risks losing 4 million jobs without it. On that front, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he'll likely introduce a new stimulus bill as soon as next week.
Turning to markets now, stocks in Asia and Europe are lower. Sentiment in Asia soured overnight as tensions between the U.S. and China ramped up again. The White House is rejecting Beijing's claims in the South China Sea. Here with more on the market moves is Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Juliet, good morning.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. China's CSI 300 retreated from Monday's levels despite positive June trade data, while the ChinaX index saw losses of more than 3% intraday as volatility picks up in China's most overheated stocks. In Hong Kong, stocks fell as more restrictions came in following a tick up in virus cases. The Nikkei 225 fell 0.9% following Monday's more than 2% gain, while markets were lower in Sydney and slightly weaker in Seoul. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thanks. Back here in the U.S., investors await earnings from big banks. J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo report this morning. And here with more is Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
All eyes will be on the bank's defense mechanisms to counter the fallout from the coronavirus pandemic. And loan loss provisions, which surged in the first quarter as pandemic lockdowns took hold, are expected to climb further. Nationwide stay-at-home orders are also expected to have reduced income from service charges and credit card fees, a cornerstone of the bank's growth in recent years. Analysts expect a profit of about $1.04 per share at JPMorgan Chase and 38 cents at Citigroup. Wells Fargo is projected to lose about 7 cents. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thank you. And S&P futures up 9 points this morning. Dow futures up 91 and NASDAQ futures up 31. The euro at 1.1351 against the dollar. The British pound 1.2521 and the yen is at 107.35. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says his state will lift the 50% capacity limit on NJ Transit trains and private carrier buses beginning at 8 p.m. tomorrow. Murphy says more people are now heading back to offices and the state is still flattening the curve.
We are seeing increases in ridership, which are beginning to approach 50% of the stated maximum capacity of these vehicles. And we want to ensure that people are able to get to their jobs and that the system continues operating as efficiently as possible.
Murphy says face coverings must be worn on trains and at stations. New York City will redouble efforts to educate young people about the importance of wearing masks and keeping socially distant after a rise in cases among those ages 20 to 29. Top infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci linked the surge in U.S. coronavirus cases to the country's failure to shut down completely and then a rush to reopen too soon. Speaking at California Stanford School of Medicine, Fauci says a full lockdown to get control of the virus in the U.S. isn't necessary.
If we step back, you don't necessarily need to shut down again, but pull back a bit and then proceed in a very prudent way of observing the guidelines of going from step to step.
President Trump says he has a very good relationship with Dr. Fauci, but does not always agree with him. Trump has been increasingly critical of government health officials and their guidance. It was a violent Monday in New York City. At least 17 people were shot, a tally that would be considered high for a weekend day, but officers say that is astronomical for early in the week. The New York Post reports in Brooklyn alone there was a total of 12 victims. A federal judge is demanding more information about President Trump's decision to commute the prison sentence of longtime ally Roger Stone. The president stands by his decision despite some GOP pushback.
I'm getting rave reviews for what I did for Roger Stone, and he frankly is going to go and now appeal his case. He had a jury for a woman who hated Roger Stone.
It is primary day in Alabama. Former Attorney General Jeff Sessions trying to win back his Senate seat and former Auburn University football coach Tommy Tuberville are running to be the GOP nominee in the Senate race. The winner will go up against current Senator Democrat Doug Jones in the fall. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Good morning, John Stashower.
All right, good morning, Nathan. The NBA has to be thrilled that of 322 COVID tests that took place in Orlando, only two came back positive, although one of the NBA's biggest stars has the virus, Houston's Russell Westbrook. It's not known if that was one of the two or if it came from a previous test. Meanwhile, Indiana's best player, Victor Oladipo, who was going to opt out for injury reasons, has changed his mind and expects to play. The NBA, NHL, and MLB have all had players opt out from playing. None will get paid, but all got the blessing of their league. Not the case in the WNBA, where Elena Deladon is the MVP. Last year led Washington to the championship. She says she was advised by her doctor not to play because of Lyme disease. The league says that's not a valid reason and is forcing her to play. The Washington NFL team, the team with no name, it's not Redskins anymore. The new name may be held up because of a man who lives in Arlington, Virginia, who just 9 days ago received trademarks on eight nicknames that the team was considering changing to. It's not known if his motivation was to try and force the team to keep Redskins or to get paid in return for relinquishing the trademark. Speaking of getting paid, the deadline is tomorrow for a player with a franchise tag to sign a multi-year deal. It does not appear as if it will happen. For Dak Prescott in Dallas, the Cowboys quarterback, set to make $31.4 million this upcoming season. DeSean Jackson, the Eagles wideout who recently made anti-Semitic posts, spoke with a 94-year-old Holocaust victim, and Jackson now says he plans to visit Auschwitz and donate money to Jewish community efforts. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Ahead of the kickoff of earnings season, with three of the six big banks reporting this morning, futures are on the upswing, with S&P futures higher by 7.5 points, Dow futures up 71, NASDAQ futures positive by 22 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and European stocks are extending a global retreat, German bonds climbing as investors weigh the risks of the upcoming earnings season and economic hit of rising virus cases. U.S. stock index futures, meanwhile, are on the rise. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 13 points, Dow futures up 124, NASDAQ futures up 37, the DAX in Germany is down 1.4%, 10-year Treasury down 2/32 seconds, yield 0.62%, yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1% or 40 cents at $39.69 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.6% or $11 at $18.03.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1358 against the dollar, British pound 1.2522, and the yen at 107.34. Bank earnings this morning, we're watching for JP Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup to report, and we're also looking for a report on small business optimism out at 6 o'clock Wall Street time, and the Consumer Price Index out at 8:30. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. It is primary day in Alabama. Former Attorney General Jeff Sessions is trying to win back his old Senate seat. Texas voters are also heading to the polls today for runoff elections. The Trump administration rejected China's expansive maritime claims in the South China Sea, reversing a previous policy of not taking sides in such disputes and escalating tensions with Beijing on yet another front. The move aligns the U.S. with a 2016 ruling by United Nations Tribunal that found China's claims to waters also contested by the Philippines were unlawful. President Trump is seeming to downplay the tension between himself and the nation's top infectious disease expert. After his advisors put out information critical of Dr. Anthony Fauci, President Trump told reporters that he gets along just fine with the government's leading expert on infectious diseases. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks for coming up to 520 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're joined this morning by Seema Shah, Chief Strategist at Principal Global Investors. Good to have you with us this morning, Seema, as we see a bit of a lift for futures contracts after the late-day sell-off that appeared to be sparked by California announcing its rollback of its reopening. Where do you see equities going from here now that the biggest economy, at least at a state level in the U.S., is starting to pull back now?
Good morning. So I think that with, as you said, with a lot of the reopenings going into reverse, and, you know, we don't see the economy doing particularly well. We think there's been a release of pent-up demand, which has been driving economic activity up till now, and that can certainly carry things. But we're not expecting a continuation of the incredible Q2 performance by any means. But as long as we have central banks standing behind markets, and they're very clearly are set to do so, we can't see that there would be a significant correction in the second half of the year. So I think what we're hoping for is just a process of consolidation through to year-end now.
Through to year-end. So just a lot of choppiness from here on out. How do you take advantage of that?
Yeah, it's a very difficult one at the moment. I mean, we believe that, you know, firstly, investors should stay fully invested in this kind of environment. It is difficult, but I think when you have a background where there is a lot of risk and you need to have continued caution, you need to pick out the sectors that are still going to benefit, almost winners, from this kind of environment. And to us, although technology is clearly expensive, we think it's got further to run still. So, you know, we know that investors at the moment will be looking for strong balance sheets, for positive cash flow. Those are the companies that are going to be able to withstand a lot of the challenges. So we still like technology and generally a more defensive positioning within the portfolio and looking really at high quality.
Now, of course, we did see a big sell-off on the tech side yesterday. Is there a risk of overvaluation there and potentially a bubble starting to burst?
I mean, I think there is certainly an argument to be had. You know, we do find that there is some concern certainly creeping in from that regard. But I think that, you know, as long as you have a backdrop which is still full of uncertainties, you need to have companies that are strong enough to deal with this kind of environment. So you need to, wherever you're looking, you know, whichever sector it is, it needs to have a strong balance sheet. You need to make sure that the company isn't taking on too much leverage. And it's also in an industry which is essentially going to be enjoying this secular growth story. And for us, technology still stands there. The areas that when we would start to have some concerns is if we see a return of overregulation, if we have some concerns growing in the U.S. about the regulatory side, that's when we would start to really question technology. But for the time being, we do have, a lot of conviction on that trade.
Are you looking for more certainty on profits as earnings season gets underway here?
Absolutely. You know, with a lack of guidance, I think it's been very, very difficult for analysts to get a good idea about you know, which companies are going to be doing well. I think, you know, for us, we think about Q2, we know that, look, it's going to be a bad quarter. But I think a lot of it has already been priced in, especially for the U.S. I think there's some potential for negative surprises in Europe, maybe less so in Asia Pacific. But we think that, you know, looking on for the rest of the year, we don't think there's that much more room for further downgrades. A lot of it has been baked in.
Do you think that corporates are going to actually give some more clear guidance on their own earnings expectations going forward here? Is there still too much uncertainty on that front?
I think there's still a lot of uncertainty. I think that, you know, we could be a little bit in a better situation than we were last quarter, certainly with the reopenings. It feels like there is at least a vision of where things are going. But I certainly don't expect to return to the kind of levels of guidance that we were experiencing before COVID. You know, ultimately, what we've just seen in the last few weeks is as soon as you get a resurgence in any kind of virus cases, and we still, of course, we don't know exactly when that's going to happen, that we should start to anticipate that there will be rolling lockdowns through year-end. And the other thing that we still are very unsure of is, you know, how do consumers behave? You know, do they respond to these kind of lockdowns by just pulling back a lot of their normal behavior? So do they pull back from their shopping behavior, from their general going out and eating out? So these are the things that we still need to watch for over the progress of the year.
And, of course, earnings season gets going in earnest later this morning when three of the six big banks report their second quarter results. We're going to have full coverage here throughout the morning on Bloomberg Daybreak. Seema Shah, Chief Strategist at Principal Global Investors, thanks so much for your insights this morning. Good to have you with us. At the moment, S&P futures are higher by 11 points. Dow futures up 113. NASDAQ futures a gain of 38 points. European stocks still trending lower with the DAX in Germany down 1.4%. CAC in Paris down 1.5%. 10 years down, 2/32. Yield on a 10-year treasury, 0.62%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. We'll have a mix of sun and clouds today and a high in the mid-80s. Partly cloudy tonight, upper 60s. Partly sunny tomorrow, low 80s. We'll get up to around 80 under a partly sunny sky on Thursday. Right now, 71 degrees in New York.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date in the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher this morning while stocks in Europe and Asia tumble. Virus concerns are weighing on sentiment as California rolls back reopening measures. Governor Gavin Newsom is responding to rising infections by closing indoor activities.
Restaurants, wineries, tasting rooms, movie theaters, family entertainment centers, zoos and museums, card rooms, and the shuttering of all bars.
California is reporting record hospitalizations, and Newsom says more restrictions could come for counties with increased exposure.
In Florida, intensive care patients in Miami-Dade County hit a fresh record. Miami Mayor Francis Suarez says hospitals are nearing max capacity.
Our hospital systems are getting strained. We have a very small capacity in our ICUs.
Miami's mayor says there are currently no plans for another lockdown, but he isn't ruling one out.
Cities and states are grappling with how to teach classes this fall. The White House is pushing for in-person learning, but the second largest district in the country has decided not to return kids to classrooms.
The fall semester will begin where the last one let off, with distance learning. That students will not attend classes in person.
L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti is starting the year with online classes. San Diego is doing the same. The move comes in direct opposition to President Trump, who's made reopening schools one of his top priorities.
Investors are weighing the impact from the virus, and today they also weigh earnings from U.S. banks. J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup report this morning with the pandemic front and center in second quarter results. We get more from Bloomberg's Danny Berger.
It's going to be the second quarter in a row that was really hurt badly by credit. This we know that's caked into the pie here, as well as better trading revenue results, too. So you have a lot that's already been assumed. So the one last potential for a surprise to the upside really seems to be investment banking.
Bloomberg Intelligence expects revenue gains at J.P. Morgan and Citigroup and a decline at Wells Fargo. Loan loss provisions are likely to weigh on results from all three.
Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 13 points. Dow futures up 121. And NASDAQ futures up 47. The DAX in Germany is down 1.25%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. Yield 0.62%. And the yield in the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.8% or 32 cents at $39.78 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.6% or $11.70 at $18.02.30 an ounce. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 5:33 on Wall Street. And now with more on the local response to coronavirus and what else is happening around the world, here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says schools will be approved for reopening if their region is in phase four and the daily infection rate remains 5% or lower over a 14-day average. The governor says the state will maintain a safety valve after it determines during first week of August which schools can reopen. Cuomo went on to say if the virus spikes between the first week in August and the day schools open and the regional infection rate over a 7-day average is more than 9%, then the school will close.
We're not going to use our children as a litmus test, and we're not going to put our children in a place where their health is endangered.
Starting today, travelers from certain states landing at New York airports could face a $2,000 fine for failing to fill out a form that state officials would use to track travelers and ensure they're following quarantine restrictions. New Jersey transit trains, buses, and light rail may resume operation with full capacity.
We are lifting the 50% capacity limits currently enforced on NJ Transit and private carrier buses, trains, light rail vehicles, and access link vehicles effective 8 p.m. this Wednesday.
Governor Phil Murphy says face coverings will remain required for all staff and passengers. The White House is denying that it's trying to discredit one of their coronavirus task force members, Dr. Anthony Fauci.
I have a very good relationship with Dr. Fauci. I've had for a long time, right from the beginning. I find him to be a very nice person. I don't always agree with him. I closed the border, as you know, to China. I did the ban on China, heavily infected.
President Trump, however, the White House press office actually sent reporters a list of quotes that Fauci has made. The White House said he was just wrong. A tell-all book from President Trump's niece gets released today. The publication follows a judge's rejection of the Trump family's attempt to stop it. Someone vandalized the Black Lives Matter mural painted in front of Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue yesterday, and it was caught all on video. Police are looking for the person who walked up to the mural and dumped red paint over it. Forecasters say New York will likely see temperatures above 90 degrees starting this weekend and continuing into next week. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It is coming up to 5:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, Steve Cohen back in the game trying to buy the Mets. He withdrew his $2.6 billion bid due to being forced to wait to gain control. But with those restrictions no longer in place, Cohen has reportedly bid at even $2 billion, although Fox Business reports MLB owners don't want Cohen in their club for fear he would spend so much he would drive up player salaries. And new names have surfaced in the group that includes Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez. Other investors include former NFL players Joe Thomas and Brian Urlacher, current Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce, even a marginal NBA player, Mason Plumlee. Their bid, reportedly $1.7 billion, with A-Rod and J-Lo putting up $300 million. Waiting to hear on the new name for the NFL team in Washington, a man in Arlington, Virginia just got the trademark on eight names that were being considered, but Redskins is out. Owner Dan Snyder said to be working on a new name with Ron Rivera, Snyder's ninth coach in the last 20 years. He's never coached a game or even a practice in Washington, yet he gets to help decide the new name. Houston Rockets star Russell Westbrook tested positive for the virus, says he feels well, but he'll go into quarantine. Memorial Golf tees off Thursday in Ohio. It's Tiger Woods' first tournament since February, and he's going to play with Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka. The Patriot League, following the lead of the Ivy League. No fall sports. They are letting Army and Navy make their own decision, and the athletic director at Navy says he's hopeful that even if there's no college football season, there can still be an Army-Navy game in December. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Hedge fund managers who fled Manhattan to work from home could save millions, but they may also cost New York City dearly. Investment firms that pay the city's unincorporated business tax may be able to slash their bills because it's assessed on the bottom lines of businesses operating in New York City. Well, if city residents who fled the virus for second homes aren't counted in the census, the city could lose out on critical federal money and congressional seats. Only 46% of Upper East Side households have filled out census forms, according to a June 25th report from the Department of City Planning. Brummer's Chocolates, a popular family-owned candy shop in Westfield, New Jersey, is closing for good Saturday after 116 years in business. NJ.com says the business, located on East Broad Street, is owned by George Brummer. He's retiring after 47 years, according to a store Facebook post. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right, Ed, thank you. It is 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Jeff Bullinger, and on WIOD in Miami, I'm talking about KFC closing the dining rooms in its Florida stores because of the rise in coronavirus cases.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Oil field services provider Calfrac has filed for bankruptcy on the decline in crude.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the decision to remove Huawei from the UK's 5G network.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WFLA in Orlando, I'm reporting on another retail bankruptcy. This time, it's the parent of New York & Company.
I'm Steve Potosk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about earnings season getting underway with some of the biggest banks opening their quarterly books.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Some other stories we're following. Users of the Robinhood platform that's loved by day traders can't get enough of Tesla. About 40,000 accounts added shares of the electric car maker in just 4 hours yesterday. Tesla was up 16% at one point before ending the day 3% lower. Shares have gained 56% over the past 10 days. And Amazon is telling workers in a New York warehouse that time spent washing hands won't be held against them. They also won't be penalized for falling short of quotas. Workers at the facility have gone on strike and sued over safety concerns. They say Amazon's policies have exacerbated the risk of contracting COVID-19. It is 5:40 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is the heist issue, including the empty frames that remain the art world's biggest mystery. You can find it online now. Terminal customers can receive a complimentary subscription at MAG Go. Listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly right here on Bloomberg Radio, or watch it on YouTube weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. Get global business, finance, and tech news on your TV, computer, or mobile device at YouTube.com. Search Bloomberg Global News. S&P futures higher by 12 points. Dow futures up 111. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks extending a global retreat and German bonds climbing as investors weigh the risks of the upcoming earnings season and economic hit of rising virus cases. S&P 500 and NASDAQ futures are pointing to a higher open after finishing in the red yesterday. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 12 points. Dow futures up 102. NASDAQ futures up 43. The DAX in Germany is down 1.4%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32nd, yield 0.62%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.7% or 27 cents at $39.83 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.6% or $11.20 at $18.02.90 an ounce. The euro 1.1365 against the dollar, British pound 1.2523, and the yen at 107.31. And J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo are among companies scheduled to report earnings today. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, with COVID-19 rates rising in California, the state is looking back and will back down on new orders. Bars and movie theaters are closed again. In many areas, gyms, churches, hair salons, barbershops, and indoor malls are being ordered shut down. Los Angeles school districts are announcing schools will not reopen in the fall. The Trump administration rejected China's expansive maritime claims in the South China Sea, reversing a previous policy of not taking sides in such disputes and escalating tensions between Beijing on yet another front. Tom Bergeron and Erin Andrews will not be returning to host the 29th season of Dancing with the Stars. Bergeron has been with the show since 2005 and more than 400 episodes. Bergeron called the show the most unexpected gift of my career. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Wow. All right, Michael, thank you. It is 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. As we prepare for second quarter earnings season, it's about to kick off in just about an hour when the first of the big six banks reports results. It's like the Super Bowl for Bloomberg News finance correspondent Shanali Bosick. About to be the busiest person in the Bloomberg headquarters. Good to have you with us this morning, Shanali. But this earnings season, I think just about all predictions are it's not going to be pretty, particularly given the loan loss provisions we saw at the end of the previous quarter.
Right. And I could give you all the estimates in the world, but that at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. This quarter is going to be bad. It's hard to really estimate what a J.P. Morgan will say about their estimates based on what they expect the economy to look like at the end of the year. Wells Fargo comes after them. We expect very tough provisions there as well. The thing to watch out for is, well, was Wells Fargo going to post a loss? We haven't seen a banking loss in a long time. Remember last year, we were coming off of record numbers. So it's kind of hard to see something like that this quarter around.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the loan loss provisions have been the focal point for so many investors. But what are the potential bright spots we could see today?
Well, we know trading is a huge bright spot. We know that volumes have been skyrocketing even in the face of this whipsawing volatility in the markets. Retail traders are trading more. Fixed income markets are robust again after they haven't been in such a long time. I don't know how excited investors will get about the second quarter trading figures unless the big banks can give those investors a reason to be excited about trading in the future. It's not clear to anybody that these levels of growth are sustainable for these banks.
Well, even if investors were to get excited about it, it would probably be something that they would be excited about mainly for J.P. Morgan, right? I mean, they're the bank that's got the big exposure to trading revenue as opposed to the others that are going to report this morning.
Exactly. And J.P. Morgan, compared to all the banks, is kind of a flight to safety here. So I would call J.P. Morgan an outlier because they're fortress J.P. Morgan. You know, the banks are trading at their worst level since 2008 relative to the financial crisis. Do they deserve that valuation right now? That's not clear either. They're not in the same shape as they were in the financial crisis. And into next year, we kind of know what the downside is. The question is the worst over for them?
Yeah, and I wonder whether we're going to be seeing any kind of clarity from any of these banks in terms of forward guidance to let analysts know whether the worst is over. Is there any expectation that they're going to give any kind of clear signal about what profitability could be like in the second half?
They could. I was very impressed with J.P. Morgan last quarter because they told you where the net interest income would come in the second quarter. So we shouldn't see too many surprises, at least on top line revenue, right? They had let us know throughout the quarter where trading would fall. Citigroup as well let us know where underwriting would generally fall, right? We knew that they hit a record. On Bloomberg TV, they told us in the middle of the quarter. So there were some real bright spots here. James Gorman at Morgan Stanley has already said he believes the worst is over. Just nobody believes that the economy will jump back to where it was before immediately. Everyone expects problems on the horizon, but not as bad as they were at the beginning of the year.
All right, just quickly, you mentioned Wells Fargo possibly reporting a loss this quarter. Cost-cutting has been a big issue for them. Could that be something in our last 15 seconds here that we could see across the board, the issue of cost-cutting?
Yeah, so our own Hannah Levitt broke that last week. We won't see that necessarily at all the big banks right now. They're going to wait till the end of the year to make those decisions, but Wells Fargo is something we'll hear about.
All right. Bloomberg News Finance Correspondent Shanali Bosak. Again, those big three banks, the first of the three of the big six, begin to report later on this morning. We will have full coverage for you here on Bloomberg Radio. Karen?
Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
A Washington appeals court refused to lift an injunction blocking the first federal execution in 17 years, but the Supreme Court ruled overnight that executions can proceed. It's not clear when a federal inmate will be executed. Several trademark squatters have registered names they think might be chosen by Washington's NFL team now that the team has decided to drop the Redskins' name. The EPA is giving diesel engine makers a break from certain Clean Air Act requirements because of challenges caused by the pandemic.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And another legal item we're watching includes the fallout from President Trump commuting the sentence of Roger Stone. The move spares the Republican operative from spending more than 3 years in federal lockup, but his legal journey is far from over. Stone is still appealing his conviction for lying to Congress and witness tampering, putting him at odds with the Justice Department. For more on the situation, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to former federal prosecutor Robert Mintz, a partner at McCarter & English.
Many presidents have faced criticism for how they used their pardon powers. Some say this particular pardon stands out because President Trump is granting clemency to someone who is convicted of lying to protect him, the president.
There have been other controversial pardons or commutations in the past. What sets this apart is that Roger Stone was the first one to be pardoned in connection with the investigation into the alleged ties between the Trump campaign and Russia and the dump of the WikiLeaks documents. So the argument for those who are critics of this decision is to say that Mr. Trump essentially rewarded somebody for not cooperating with prosecutors and perhaps withholding information ultimately could have led to charges against the president, or at least perhaps to have tied the president to information that showed that the Trump campaign had knowledge of these WikiLeaks dumps.
This means that the conviction against Stone is still intact. He's appealing his conviction, says he wants to overturn it and clear his name. What are the grounds for his appeal?
It also means that there'll be an odd circumstance here where the Attorney General and his Justice Department will continue to defend that conviction, despite the fact that the president has condemned the prosecution as being unfair. The issues on appeal are essentially that the charges were politically motivated. Mr. Stone has claimed that the charges were fabricated and that he was denied a fair trial by an unbiased judge and by an honest jury. So he is going after a sort of broad range of charges about the entire process being unfair.
And that's Robert Mintz, a partner at McCarter & English, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI, with an operating platform designed to support all major asset classes, diverse strategies, and investment vehicles. SEI is redefining wealth management. Learn more at seic.com/IMS. S&P futures higher up 9 points. Dow futures up 92. NASDAQ futures up 29. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. Yield 0.62%. And the yield on the 2-year 0.15%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.8% at $39.79 a barrel. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.